Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor Nicole Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor Nicole with the message.
Happy Mother's Day, Faith Church. Would you guys stand with me? Give a hand all the campuses. Come on, stand up. Give God a praise. It's a good day. Here we are in the house of God. We're 6 feet above, not 6 feet under. Everybody say, it's a good day. It's a good day. You know what? While you're standing, I know one thing that I think I know for certain, and that is how many of us at all campuses, how many of us have a mom? Like, somebody gave birth to us. All right, we all have something in common. That's a good thing. Now, our experience with the person who gave birth to us, whether or not we've been able to give birth to someone, or we ever did, or that's what God called us to do, that's a different experience for a lot of us. But here's what I do know. God has put people in our lives to pray for us. Now, y'all, I don't want to take credit for my mother's relationship with Jesus, but I want to let you know, because of the child that I was, she prayed a lot, and she got closer to God. But there were people praying for us. There were people who just called us at the right time, people who fed us at the right time, people who encouraged us. So there are mothers of the womb, and there are mothers of the heart, and we had both of those in our life. And we're at least one of those to somebody if we're a female. So would everybody give a clap and a praise and a thank you to the mothers of the womb and the mothers of the heart. Amen. If your mom's with you right now, give her a hug. Husbands, if you're with someone who's given birth to your child, give her a hug. Even if it's your baby mama, you better love her right now, because I am here to tell you, she has done something good. And then you can be seated. You can be seated. I have had the pleasure of getting to have two babies of my own. In case you don't know who at Faith Church is part of our family, here's a picture of our family right here. Aren't they good looking? I show you the picture because one time, that's my son Austin right there, the two babies on his lap. Now, you see them more on my Instagram, so you think those are my babies. Those aren't my babies. Those are my grandbabies. Right now, you're supposed to go, oh, like you can't believe it. Shh. Like, humor me. Just go, oh. Shocking, right? I know. I'm shocked too, because I'm only 25. And I've been like on the front row with Pastor Austin, who pastors here in Florida, like rubbing his back. And one time's like, you and Pastor Austin are really friendly. And I'm like, well, I did give birth to him. He's my son. And they're like, oh, that explains a lot. Right? And that beautiful blonde, that's Morgan. She's such an amazing mom to those two kids. I'm learning as much about motherhood watching my children parent as I learned watching my mom parent, right? It's been a learning journey for me the whole way. And then that's my beautiful daughter, Ashton, right there with the long blonde hair. She was in New York this weekend doing a concert with Israel Houghton, Adrian Bailon. The new Coritas album is out. Y'all should go download that for sure. And I want to talk specifically about Ashton for just one second, because Austin, I got pregnant with Austin, wasn't even trying, it's the easiest thing in the world. Labor was easy, gave birth, was in my jeans in 2 weeks, and I had the wrong picture of motherhood. Right? Years later, I am praying for a baby, and I'm praying for a baby, and I'm praying for a baby, and I'm praying for a baby, and I get a girl. And I called her my little blessing. Oh, anybody called your kids a little blessing? It lasts about 6 minutes. This is my little blessing. And I thought, oh my gosh, I finally get to have a girl. And she is born, and it is the most wonderful thing for a couple of days. And about 3 days into no sleep, can I get an amen? I started realizing I'm really tired. And about 2 weeks into no sleep and occasionally getting a shower, I hand the baby to my husband and I cry, and I'm like, I just need a shower. And all of a sudden, my blessing looked like a problem. There was a problem that I couldn't sleep, and there was a problem that I couldn't get a shower, and there was a problem that she was waking up at night. And then she grew up a little bit, and she turned into this beautiful little angel. And I brought a picture of her as she was growing up, because this face right here, has gotten me into a lot of trouble because she can get anything she wants from her daddy. And in that picture, she is so cute and she is so adorable. But the thing we don't know about toddlers is they are already strong people. You see, she looks so sweet right there, but she had rules. I do not wear socks with seams. I do not wear underpants with seams. I do not wear clothes with seams. I don't wear if it's too tight, too scratchy, or I don't like it, Mom. She's so adorable. She's my little blessing, but it was a problem. Moms, dads, leaders, friends, people. Why do we ask ourselves, well, tell me this. Do you ask yourself, because I do, why do I have so many problems? Right? I just want to go through one day where things just flow. And I think sometimes even our blessings look like problems. Okay, so I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and say, what's your problem? And if they ask you that, don't say you. Don't say you. Even if it is, don't do it in church, okay? Don't do it in church. So today we're going to Luke 5, and in Luke 5, I'll start by telling you the story. We'll get into the scripture. If you got your Bible or on your phone, go ahead and open that up. And in Luke 5, verse 1, Jesus is kind of new on the scene. He's met Peter here and there around town. They're not homies. They don't really, really know each other yet. And Jesus is teaching. A crowd comes. They start pushing. He's backing up. There's this big body of water behind him. He's like, what am I going to do? He looks around, and it says he notices two fishing boats. Y'all, fishing boats at the day, they didn't have trucks and trailers. If you had a fishing boat, it was staying at that lake or at that sea, right? So there wasn't just two fishing boats. There were fishing boats, but he noticed two. You know, sometimes God will notice you if you have a need or if you have a call. So he noticed Peter's fishing boats, and he walks right over there and pick up with me in verse 3. Jesus just climbs into the boat belonging to Simon Peter. Pastor David, is there any way you would come up here with me for just a minute? He just climbs into the boat belonging to Simon Peter and says to him, let me use your boat. Push it offshore a short distance so I can speak to the crowd. You know, Peter is like, okay, look, Jesus, in his head. He's like, okay, I fished all night. Here I am. I'm really tired. I washed my nets. I washed my boat. I'm ready to go home, and you're wanting me to go out. I don't get it. And it would have probably been really easy to say something about it, except for Jesus didn't stand way over here and appropriate like David did. He came out. He gets right up in Peter's personal space. Now, I don't think Jesus did that to Peter, because if he did.
You're always dragging me into your sermons.
Because you're so cute, baby. I love you. Okay, you can let go of me now. Okay. So Jesus jumps right into Peter's personal space. Do you have a friend that gets up in your personal space? Liam, the little kid in there with the ponytail, my little grandson, a lot of times if he needs to use the restroom or needs to do something, or if you're in his toys, he will say, give me some space, give me some space. And when I was young in my corporate world, I was that person. I wasn't this person.
Wow, no wonder. I like you.
But when I talked to people, I got just naturally a little bit too close. So one day, we had this consultant at our corporation where I was working with him, and he had developed some trust. So he said, Nicole, can I tell you something? I'm like, sure, tell me anything. I didn't see what was coming. He said, you get just a little bit too close when you have conversations. Get where you're comfortable and then take one step back. Because I was in their personal space. I know you're good looking and everything, but you need to go sit down, you're distracting people. Sometimes Jesus gets all the way up in our personal space. Sometimes we invite him and sometimes we don't, but sometimes we are in the middle of our mess and our exhaustion and our frustration and we can't even think to invite Jesus. And Jesus sometimes comes uninvited, but he is always right on time. And when Jesus is in our personal space, he does something that we don't expect. God gives us a spiritual instruction that doesn't make any natural sense. God ever told you to do something and you were like, that couldn't be Jesus, that's got to be the devil. Yeah, come on, all campuses, raise your hand. Has the Lord ever put something on your heart like, that's crazy? Because Jesus will ask you to do things that mess with your logic. There will be somebody at work who is persecuting you and just being awful and terrible. And the Lord's like, hey, you know Betty at work? And you're like, yeah, Lord, it's today we're going to pray curses on her. He's like, no, today is the day you're going to bring her Starbucks. What, Jesus? He said, yeah, I told you, love your enemies. I'm like, God, but no, I don't want to love my enemy. He said, I said, turn the other cheek. I'm like, I did, God, but I only got four, and she's still hitting. God will say, forgive those who persecute you. He's told me, give when you got nothing left. God will tell us to do spiritual things that make no natural sense. It's because he doesn't see like we see. He doesn't think like we think. Come on, Ferguson Florissant, I'm talking to somebody at that campus right now. He knows the intent of your heart, and he knows what you see, but he knows the potential that he has hidden on the inside of you. And this is not the end of the thing. This is the beginning of the thing. And you think you have a problem, but we have the wrong perspective. God has a blessing and a future. He has potential. So in verse 4, Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished, he said to Peter, now. Now, since the It's Time Women's Conference is coming up in just a few weeks, I like the people at this campus. I hope there's a whoop whoop at all of them. God's been cluing me into timing words. And this word it right here says now. What if there is an expiration on the blessing that God is wanting to get to you? And what if the blessing is on the other side of our obedience? So if we don't do what he says to do, because the time might pass, the opportunity might pass, they might hire the person, somebody else might get involved with that person, we have to move now. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better move now. He said, okay. He said to Peter, now row out to the deep and cast your nets, and you will have a great catch. You know, I can imagine Peter at this point. He's like, look, Jesus, that sounds like a really good idea to you. Here's what they wrote in the Bible. In Luke 5:5, Peter says, Master. You see, Peter recognizes who Jesus is, but he still didn't want to do what Jesus told him to do. I know that's nobody here. That's nobody here. That's just me. But he knows Jesus, and he knows he's telling him to do it, but he doesn't want to do it. We just came back from fishing all night, and we didn't catch a thing. So here's the situation, y'all. Peter is in this big boat. He's washed it out. He's already got to rewash the boat. He's washed the nets. He's fished all night. And the Bible doesn't put, like, the entirety of the conversation, right? It says Jesus taught. It doesn't tell us anything about what he taught or any of the background conversations. It just gives us little lines here and there so that the book isn't, you know, this big. So here's how the conversation happened in the Nicole version of the Bible. Peter's like, look, bro, I'm so glad you jumped in my boat. And, like, I gave you my time, and I'm really tired. But the problem is Margaret. The Bible doesn't tell us Peter's name, so I just named her Peter's wife's name, so I just named her Margaret. He's like, the problem is Margaret. She is at home with three kids. They need groceries. There's nothing in the cabinet. She's waiting for me to come home with some fish to fry up for breakfast, and then we need to sell them so she can get more food. The problem is I got no fish. So since I got no fish, we're going to have no food. She needs to pay the mortgage, and I don't have the money for the mortgage, Jesus. So when I come home, she's going to be mad at me. And when she's mad at me, I've got no answer for her. And she's going to tell me, Peter, such a great idea, quitting your job and going starting your fishing business. How's that working out, honey? Right, we have all this stress that we don't think God knows about. And he's like, no, I see you coming undone at the seams. And that's why I'm calling you. That's why I'm choosing you. That's why I'm challenging you. Why do we have so many problems? Maybe because our perspective sees provision as problems. God wasn't trying to take anything from Peter. God was trying to get something to Peter. Oh, Jesus is like, you have no idea what I have planned for you. And you know what? You don't have any idea, Sunset Hills. I'm telling you right now, Earth City, there are so many people under the sound of my voice right now that you have seriously, underestimated what God wants out of you and what God wants for you. And these things have looked big and like, I'm too tired, I can't fit it in. But God says, you have to. There's too much impact. There's too much influence. There's too much opportunity riding on what I'm calling you to do. God is nudging you and pushing you right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is my word. The first obedience, I mean, take your boat back out. Okay, I got it. I'll do it, Jesus. Take the boat back out. It's the second obedience. You see, as we get to know Jesus better, the things he asks us to do level up. We just get to meet him, and he's like, come to me. I give you grace. I give you salvation. I give you everything. And then when we get to him, he's like, hey, I got a little thing for you, because I don't want you to stay on this level. I want you to get here. And then we get to choose. Say, I choose.
I choose.
We choose whether we obey or not. And obedience is the blessing exchange. God has a blessing out there, but we have to obey him on how to get there. Right? If our blessing is sitting here and God's like, turn left. You're like, I want to go right. He's like, no, please turn left. You're like, God, I want to turn right. God's not like, please turn left. It's right here. But yet we resist. Everybody say resist.
Resist.
Resistance. Anybody ever go to the gym? I go. I don't work out a lot when I go. Because to me, if you put on your workout clothes and go to the gym, you automatically burn 300 calories. So I have a little more like resting between sets than I have actual lifting. But I have learned a few things. And that is, if you go to the gym and you lift the weights and you go, you're kind of getting some benefit, but it's not real. Because the thing about the weight isn't the weight. The thing about the weight is the time under tension. And the resistance that occurs when you lift and when you lower. And if you have time under tension, your strength is going to grow. It's the same thing in the spirit. Our time under tension, and every time God challenges us, and every time God asks us to use our faith, and every time it doesn't look good, but we follow him anyway, and every time we don't understand, but we do what he says, and every time he says give, and we listen, and we don't know where it's coming from, and every time we love somebody we didn't want to love, every time we forgive somebody we didn't want to forgive, we're getting stronger. But we have this confirmation bias. What is that? That's that same thing Peter had when he was in the boat. He's like, Jesus, you're here. You want me to do things I can't do, and I already know it's not going to turn out good. You ever looked at a situation, got invited to a party, or saw a person you know you didn't like, and you know it wasn't going to turn out good? Oh, come on. I know. What is confirmation bias? That is, if you believe it's hard, it will be hard. But it goes flip-flop too. If you believe it will be easy, it will be easy. And I had one of those days on Friday. It was so fun. I have that believe it's hard and so it's hard days more than I have the believe it's easy days. But I went to the mall on Friday, and I never go to the mall, and I went shopping, and I got this great text, and I got this great opportunity, and we got the great parking spot, and we got all the green lights, and everything was working out. I found an outfit on sale, and it was 50% off. Somebody praise Jesus. It was the Lord. Then all of a sudden, we started noticing all the good things. We looked at our receipt, and on the receipt was 5, 5, 5. Grace multiplied. Then we looked at the address we were at, and it was 5, 5, 5. It was grace multiplied. And then we noticed it's just everywhere. There was fives. We were in building number 5 and parking garage number 5. We're like, oh my gosh, we're just walking in the favor of God today. Nothing can go wrong. But then there's the opposite of that. It's like nothing could go right today. I just knew it was going to rain. I knew I was going to hit a red light. I knew I was going to be late. I knew the boss was going to be in a bad mood. And then we find ourselves in the middle of Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. What does that mean? That means what you look for, you're going to find. And if you're looking for bad, you're going to see it. And the problem is our self-talk becomes our situation. What we look at, we say. What we say, we have. because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we start saying, man, raising kids is hard, and, you know, working and trying to have a family, and I just don't have any me time, and, like, serving at church is hard, and I don't know how to make time to pray. I mean, how am I supposed to fit that in? And, like, being single is hard, and then you get married, and you're like, being married is hard, and... Yeah, nobody laughed at being single this hard, but everybody knew being married is hard. What if our biggest breakthrough comes from the hardest thing to say yes to? What is on the other side of our yes? What if we changed our perspective and every time we think we see a problem, we start looking for the provision? Every time we see a problem, we start looking for the potential. Every time we start seeing a problem, we don't think of it as what we can't do, but God, what are you going to do? So the rest of Luke 5 says, is this okay?
Yes.
Okay. The rest of Luke 5 says, but if you insist, Jesus, we're going to go out again and we're going to let down our nets because of your word. So Peter gives them all the reasons. And then in my head, Peter says it this way, but if you insist, pause. Give Jesus room to say, oh, no, Peter, I don't insist. And Peter's like, oh, don't insist. He gives Jesus a pause, and Jesus doesn't say anything. Sometime God says nothing. And when you're in that space where God doesn't say anything to you, don't freak out. What do? You remember the last thing he told you to do. And the last thing Jesus told him to do was throw down your nets. So he said, okay, we'll go out again. We'll let down our nets, and then put that scripture back up for all campuses. And I want you to say it out loud. We'll let down our nets because of your word. To hear the word of God, we got to be somewhere we can hear him. Where are we? Are we making time to come to church, or are we letting other stuff get in the way? Have we got ourselves in a small group so there's somebody who can mentor us and somewhere we can mentor other people and hear ourselves talk and be surprised by our own growth and have somebody else speak into us? Are we where we can hear the voice of God? Are we in a quiet time in the morning where we can read our Bible or pray and hear from the Lord? Are we making time? Men's night, God, guys, was this week, and it was full of men hearing from the Lord, showing up. Women's conference in a couple weeks, a time for women to come apart and say, Lord, speak to me. Your servant listens. Where are we? Are we getting to places where we can hear from the Lord? And then when we get there and he speaks, are we resisting? What's on the other side of that resistance? Growth. What's on the other side of that resistance? Blessing. What am I doing for you right now? I am encouraging you to look at the problem and say, it looks really hard, but God is faithful, and I have prayed about it. And if I am praying Jesus is getting in my boat. And if Jesus is in my boat, I'm gonna make it to the other side. And I don't know how he can do it, and I can't see it at all, but this is what the word says. And at your word, Jesus, I'm gonna do what you said. And I believe you, God. You never leave the righteous forsaken or your seed out begging for bread. So in verse 6, it says, so they pulled up their nets, and they were shocked. Oh my gosh, Jesus was right? There's this huge catch, and their nets were ready to burst. Okay, we all know Peter's dramatic, right? Because we've read the Bible, and if you want somebody to cut somebody's ear off, you just talk to your boy Peter. Right? So I can imagine Peter, because if you read other versions of this, it says the boats began to sink because of the load of fish. Now, I've been in a boat that began to sink. I was in Colombia, and I was headed to the Sound of Freedom sex trafficking island before there was a movie. We were going to minister to those girls, and on the way over, the devil didn't like it. Our boat started sinking in the middle of the ocean. And I told my friend that was with me, I said, okay, throw your purse out, throw your phone out, kick your shoes off, try to keep nothing. If this goes down, get rid of all the weight, just swim, right? So Peter's making these plans in his head, right? He's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, guys. He's like, guys, the boat is sinking. Water's coming in the boat. What are we gonna do? Oh my gosh, get the water out. You see, there's 2 to 5 guys inside one of these boats. So a couple guys start letting go of the nets and they go to get the water out. Peter's like, don't let go of the net. We're gonna lose the fish. He's like, Peter, what do we do, man? Do we get the water out? Do we hold the net? What do we do? He's like, one hand on the net, one hand for the water, one hand on the net, one hand for the water. Call for help. We read the Bible and they're like, they were shocked at the amount of fish that was in the net and we don't know what's happening here. No. They had problems. Guys, here's the thing about the Word of God. Here's the thing about the way God works. We see problems and God sees, I'm giving you what you think is a problem, but really I am blessing your socks off so big. You have no idea what I'm doing. You are in the middle of a miracle and you think it's a mess. And only once we get through the mess, we can see God was doing a miracle in my life. Because these boats, they've got a video of it. These boats that were sinking, they weren't little boats. They were 27 and a half feet long. They were 12 and a half feet wide. They were 5 feet deep. And they had 2 to 5 fishermen in them. And with the 2 to 5 fishermen, they could hold between 600 and 1,000 pounds. So with 600 to 1,000 pounds of fish, that wouldn't have sunk them. When I read all of the accounts, it says they had a ton of fish. They had 2,000 pounds of fish. 2,000 pounds of fish. In 2 times 2, they called a second boat. Both the boats were sinking. They had 4,000 pounds of fish. Do you know what that sells for, y'all? They come back and they count the fish and they realize that in the middle of what they thought was a mess and in the middle of what they thought was a problem and the very thing they didn't want to do that God told them to do, in one morning they made an entire year's salary. They had to call in all the other people. What if what we don't want to do is the key to a year's salary in a day? Can you imagine Peter then? Now he's like, oh man, Margaret's gonna love this. Oh, we're paying off the boat. We're paying off the business. We are rocking this out. It is gonna be amazing. You see, when God moves in your life, he doesn't just give you a fish. God's like, I got plans, and it's not fish plans. It's not school of fish plans. I got plans for you, says the Lord, and they're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end, to give you a future and a hope, says Jeremiah 29:11. Ephesians 3:20 says, my plans are better than you can ask, think, or imagine. God's not a one fish kind of God. God is a boat sinking load of fish kind of God. He's wanting to blow your mind. He's wanting to increase your imagination. He's wanting to overflow your heart, your checking account, your family, and your marriage. So what does the enemy do since he knows how God operates? Well then, here's the enemy's plan. He's gonna try and make the blessing look like a burden. So we factor it out. Y'all ever feel like that? Like your blessing is about to break you? Like, Lord, give me a husband. Lord, give me a wife. And then he does. Lord, I need children. Lord, I need children. Give me children. And then he does. Lord, give me clients. Lord, give me business. And then he does. And all of a sudden, we have too many clients, too many emails, too many laundry piles, too many carpool runs, too many people that need something from us all at the same time. And there's too much of all of that and not enough of us. And then we start retreating and we go to bed and we don't know what happens. We start coping mechanisms and we start cursing the load. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to disguise your blessing as a burden. Don't curse the load. Thank God for the blessing it came wrapped in. For Peter, it wasn't a problem. It was a promotion. I think that with every problem that we have, God says, I work all things together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. Let me ask you at all campuses today at RPC, do you love Christ Jesus? If you do, give me a hand wave, give me a shout. Go ahead and say an amen. Then you qualify. It wasn't a problem, it was a promotion. And because Peter obeyed, obedience is the blessing exchange. Because Peter obeyed, everything shifted in Peter's life. His name changed from Simon to Peter. His calling changed from fisherman to disciple. His influence changed from somebody who was unknown to a guy we're still talking about today. One decision was all it took for him to become unknown to a history maker. And then Peter's life did not go from problems to peace and quiet. He went from no fish to too many fish. He went from I'm broke to my boat's about to sink. He went from Lord, I need a miracle to I can't carry this blessing by myself. It's a good problem, but it's still a problem. And sometimes I think we're like Peter. We see the extra work. We see the problems. We see how it doesn't fit. We see how it makes no sense. And God sees, I'm getting ready to do something big. Don't you know me yet? I'm the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I'm Jehovah Rapha, your healer. I am your salvation. I am your wholeness. I am your rock and your defense. You shall not be moved. I am your strong tower. You can run in and be safe. We just have to shift our perspective, friends, from looking down at what the problem is to look to the hills from which cometh our help. Jesus doesn't need our success. He needs our surrender. He needs our yes. He needs our trust. He needs us to listen and obey, not because he's weird and wacky or just even like a mom, like, because I said so. He's got a plan and he is working his plan. And as long as we will work his plan, he knows his plan and his plan is good because he is a good, good father. If you believe God is good, can you give me an amen? Say, he's a good God. Say, what a God. God, you're so good to me. That wasn't his last ask of Peter. Once Peter got back to shore, Peter, take me on the boat. Okay, Peter, throw down your nets. Okay, Peter, now that you've said two okays, here's my third one. Walk away from the business that you just paid off and follow me. He always levels up the challenge. But let me ask you this. Was that question the best challenge that Peter could ever get? You know, the money from the fish, that was life-changing. But that life change was nothing compared to the life change of following Jesus and doing what Jesus had planned for his life. And that's what Jesus has planned for you, because he's an incredible God. Come on, just sing with me 1 minute. What a God, what a God.
What a God, what a God.
Your everything. Do you believe he has good for even you? Have you ever doubted that God would want to bless somebody like you? That's the enemy trying to mask it again. He does. It's why you were born. It's why he created you. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. You have purpose and potential on the inside of you.
Amen.
And at all campuses right now, if there have been problems in your life and you know you need prayer for those problems, and that's you, would you raise your hand at all campuses so we can pray for you right now? You might think, I can't see your hand. But that doesn't even matter. It's God who sees your hand. He wants your surrender. And with two hands up, he sees that international sign of surrender. And he's moving right now. Father God, you are so good. And we can't even comprehend it. You are so gracious. And your grace pours out in places and ways that we don't understand. And it comes to us, God, and we know everything we've done wrong. We know our Peter moments. And yet you look at what we've done wrong and you say, I love you and I see you and I need you and I want you. Come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We rest in you, God, as we listen for you again and you challenge us to that next thing. Speak the fenced in and the hidden things that we do not know, according to Jeremiah. Give us an unction of the Holy One so that we know all things, according to 1 John. Give them ideas and concepts, confirmation and light to their path so we can walk out everything that you have called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of Faith Church gave God a good amen and amen. Was that all right for today?